way back after yet another hiatus. This is episode 9, isn't it, Kieran, of the Back to Front show?
Yes, though we thought it was episode 10.
Is it episode 10 or episode 9?
No, it's 9? Episode 9.
Oh, that's right. We had the abandoned episode 8, which became mothballed.
Yes.
Got acquired by Yahoo. And then we redid episode 8. So this is, in actual fact, episode 9.
It is.
It's actually quite a long time since we did the last one, isn't it?
It's been a very long time, yeah.
I know. I do feel bad about that. Do you feel bad about that?
Not really.
No, typical. Okay. It was actually the 13th of May. Oh, my goodness.
That's terrible, Kier.
That's over a month. Well, the good thing is we should have some stuff to talk about. The month is a long time in the web and tech industry.
In theory.
In theory, we've probably been acquired and sold twice in that time, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
A round, B round, C round. Done.
Done.
Mothballed.
Done. What have you been up to?
Work.
Work. Are you still occupying the startup table in Nero's?
No. I've been coding on a little sofa next to the air conditioning unit.
Air conditioning unit?
Yeah.
I saw you had the fire on the other day on the old Instagram.
Yeah, it's one stream to the other.
Yeah, it is. Yes, the British weather, for anyone who doesn't live in this fine isle, is pretty awful at the moment.
It is. It's dreadful.
It's either stupidly hot or freezing cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, what can you do? Anything exciting been happening for you?
Trying to think. Can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone a month ago.
Oh, I know.
What?
I'm a bit reluctant to say it because it could be misconstrued, but we've both got a new man crush.
Oh, we have, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
How would you describe him? Cook, come travel cook.
I'd say he's sort of like a member of Led Zeppelin who's become a chef.
And then left the band and gone solo.
The band. And he's sort of an aging rocker, that kind of.
He has a particular sort of New York turn of phrase for describing things.
He does. He's sort of, I think some people put him in the same boat as someone like Gordon Ramsay, but he's not like that at all, really.
No, he doesn't really drop the F-bomb as much and slap his hand a la done.
No, he doesn't. No.
He's much more.
He's travel and food.
Travel and food. A heady mix.
Heady mix of.
Yeah. But if you've never heard of Mr. Bourdain, do check him out. The Layover is available on iTunes.
It is.
Series 1 for people with a UK account and Series 2 for those who maybe have an illegal American account.
Or just an American account because you're an American.
But you're not, Kieran.
Well, no. Okay. Let's keep that to ourselves because Apple could be listening.
Yes, we keep that to ourselves and our 77 Twitter followers. Do you think we'll ever get any more?
Maybe. Extra one a week.
Yep. We have had some feedback on the last show.
Right.
For once, the recording was up to par, but the coughing was too loud. So I apologise for that.
Coughing was atrocious.
It was, and I now really desperately want to cough because it still hasn't gone. Can you believe it? I've been told that I should go to a doctor.
You should. A month. Come on. Could be consumption.
Consumption? What's that?
It's, I don't know. It's what they used to call.
Have you been watching Downton Abbey again?
Well, Katie has, and I've been enjoying it.
Enjoying it?
Enduring.
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 Yeah. A great British period drama. But, so in the interim, though, we've been around a little bit. Went to Beyond Telerand, which was great.
You've been all over the place.
I have been, literally, mentally, physically.
Been all over the world.
Not all over the world, no, just all over the place, really. just a few flights. Yes, had an enforced stay at Schiphol Airport on my way to Beyond Telerand.
Nice.
Yes, Mr. Stocks managed to make the flight, left me behind, and
Had his running shoes on.
Had his running shoes on. He got the first bus, I got the second, and
That's it all, really.
Yeah, it does. Story of my life, and but he's not well actually at the moment, is he? He's bemoaning the fact
hay fever.
That he's got travel induced sickness.
Yes,
a malady of high flyingdom.
It is. Exactly it is really. That. But so Beyond Telerand, how was it?
It's really good. Mark did an amazing job. Obviously, it's not his first event. He's been doing events for a while now, but it's the first one I'd attended. And it was brilliant. The venue was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Had like these really cool little cocktail tables and little lights on, and then all the seating was great. And he did this thing which actually kind of revolutionised events for me, and it will sound very, very simple when I tell you.
Right, revolutionised events. So wait
for me.
Okay.
He put a break in between every single talk. And I was like, this really works, you know, the achy bottom. And
yeah, I went to an event recently which started at 9. Our first break was at 3.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was seriously in pain by that point.
What was that on?
It was Tribeca Interactive. It was a great event, but it was I really enjoyed it. I should hasten to add.
6 hours on one's derriere.
But it was, and I was trapped. I wasn't at a point where I could get out, and it was comfortable, but it was not that comfortable, you know.
You were trapped.
Well, I was trapped in a big row of people. I'd have to have stood up and, you know.
Yeah. But you're a fidget like me. I mean, that must have been, you know, a major ordeal, having to sit there for 6 hours.
I'm not a small unit either, so... No, you know.
Medium unit.
Well, no.
An MU. But yeah, Beyond Teleran was really, really good. I think the video is out now of Josh Brewer. He actually sang his talk.
Oh, really?
In its entirety, self-accompanied on a guitar.
Was there a reason for this? Was it spontaneous? Was it planned? Was it obviously practiced?
Semi-planned.
Right.
There was one point when he was about 5 minutes into it where I was actually hoping that he knew more than the one chord. But he actually does. He's quite proficient, as it happened. And when the resolution came and he went sort of from the E to the A, it was a big relief.
Good.
But yeah, check it out on Vimeo. I think Mark's posted.
Did he stand up off a stool at that point when he changed chords?
No, he did a bit of, like, you know, he was getting quite into it. But the problem was he had to keep nodding to Mark, who was in the front row, to actually change the slides.
Oh, right.
So that created a little bit of... you know, interestingness.
Yeah.
But no, a brilliant event, Beyond Teleran's. 2 days, a whole bunch of talks. Josh's was great. Brad Frost was amazing. James Victori, I think that's how you say it, forgive me if I've got it wrong, who did a sort of evening session from 7:30 onwards, accompanied by beers and stuff. That was brilliant. He's a really interesting guy based out of New York.
Designer?
Yes, I guess so. Artist. I'm not sure how he described himself, but fascinating guy. Amazing mustache. Brilliant. And yeah, really fascinating guy. We ended up chatting in the bar, comparing Neil Young songs till an ungodly hour. But yeah, really good. I'd definitely recommend going to Beyond Teleran next year if anyone can make it. Really, really good. And it was quite strange actually being in Germany having a conference in English. I found that a little bit disconcerting. Yeah. I'm quite glad it was, because my German extends to ordering cheesecake and a small beer. So it was for the best. For the best.
That's useful. It's useful.
Yeah, for the best. But Johnny Belmont was there. I wonder if Johnny's listening. What did he win? He won Event of the Year, actually, at the U-Belly.
I just saw a photograph.
Yeah, he's, as I said, first time I've seen him lost for words. Yeah, good old Johnny. And obviously that's Reasons to be Creative, which is on in September.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll be going. Are you coming?
Don't think so. Don't know. Haven't looked.
Brighton. Oh. It's a long way for you.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyways, on my way.
On your way, anyways. But so Bourdain, Johnny Belmont, what else is new? We didn't follow up on John O'Nolan's response. He got back in touch with us.
Oh, he did, yeah. Well, that was decades ago, wasn't it?
Wasn't it the last one?
No, one
yeah,
before.
Was really? It? No, I think it was the last one.
Right, anyway.
But how did that finish in the end, do you know?
What?
Did they reach their stretch?
They didn't reach their stretch, but they made a ridiculous amount of money. Hang on a second.
Yes, we should have done the prep here, shouldn't we?
Yeah, this is professional Googling on the spot.
Yeah, and you can hear the keys in the background. I always love that.
£196,000.
Wow. 362, so, yeah.
Or a two-bedroom house in a town in Somerset. You know, that kind of money.
They could probably buy the startup table.
Thought so, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
so they almost made their stretch. They were 50 grand off the stretch.
That's staggering, isn't it?
Yeah, but given that the stretch was 10 times their original.
Did anyone buy the ironic backer special? Nobody did.
That's ridiculous. Come on.
I had three grand, I would have dropped that just to see John get his WordPress logo tattooed.
Yeah, someone with money should have done that. Come on.
Haters going to be productive. I wonder if he'd have that tattooed instead of the WordPress logo. If you're taking off,
I don't think the WordPress logo would be any like bad thing for him, because he was a former member of the team, likes WordPress. I think it's sort of like everyone's thinking he just wants a WordPress tattoo and wants you to pay for it.
Yeah, £3,000. Mind you, I mean, I have no idea how much tattoos are.
A lot more than you'd have thought, I think.
Really? Have you done the research?
No.
Are you thinking of getting a WordPress tattoo?
I have friends who have sleeves and such.
Sleeves, the full sleeve.
I think that it runs into the hundreds of pounds.
Anyway, we could probably chat about handlebar mustaches, fixed gear bikes, and full sleeves all day.
Yes,
as is often the case off air. However, We do have some news. Well, breaking not really news. It's slow news-ish. I've got a couple of links. The first one is learnthesecrethandshake.com.
Right.
Did you check it out?
It's a student thing, right?
Well, it's kind of... I got the link from Sidebar, which is a daily email. Comes 7 days a week.
Right.
And it's like 5 design-related links. And
okay.
It's a really great newsletter, actually. I think it was up for Side Project of the Year at the .NET Awards. Cool. I'm not sure if it won. I can't remember. No, I think with the responsive... .is one, but yeah, 5 curated. They've got a bunch of people who contribute, and this one came up the other day, and it's kind of you can click on all the different faces if you check out the website, and it's kind of advice, do's, don'ts, and that kind of thing on portfolios,
yeah,
or resumes, that kind of thing, or curriculum vitae, as we prefer to call them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a really, really nice site. I think it works really, really well. There's some nice interaction there, but also there's some great quotes. You know, they're all very consumable.
Yeah.
And whether you agree with them or not, there's a lot of good ideas in there that you could take away. And
I'm just looking through them now. There's some really good stuff in here. Just stuff, especially, you know, if you're a new graduate, you'd be looking at thinking, you know, I'm glad I knew that rather than afterwards. The stuff from Jessica Hish, for example.
Yeah.
About how to present your portfolio to the best advantage and stuff.
Yeah, and there's one quote in there, and. As I try to find it, obviously I never will, about putting the work that you want to be known for in your portfolio. And that's something Mike Coos always talked about. It's like, put the work that you want to get in your portfolio. If you don't want to get, insurance agency websites, but you've done 3, don't put those in. Put the stuff that you really want to do, whether that's been paid work or side project work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you become known for. And I think that's true, isn't it? Many
it ways. Is. Like, it's the same thing as, like, you know, put on your website what you want to do, not, you know, who you want to be or whatever, not what you are.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, people are going to look at that and think, I'm going to employ them on that basis.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more. I think there's a whole bunch of good advice in here, though. So, if you're starting out, or even if you're not, even if you're old in the tooth like me. you're catching up. There's a, you know, whole bunch of great ideas and advice in there that you can take. And I mean, that's the funny thing, though. I was listening to a podcast the other day. I think it was called The Freelance Web, and they were talking about how, you know, even though they're freelance designers, their portfolios are the one thing that they've just not had time to do, because there's this pressure that it has to be really, really good. It has to be better than anything you've done for anybody else. And how they've I think the people on the show were like talking about using things like Behance and that instead of actually designing their own, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah,
but there are some great tools out there.
I always find that hard though, when you're a developer as well. Like, I often get asked for a portfolio, which I always find a bit awkward, if you see what I mean, because, you know, I could provide them with a bunch of screenshots or a bunch of links to sites, but ultimately what they're looking at as a client who probably isn't very technical is they're just looking at the design.
It's true, and I mean, I think when you read interviews with people who do technical hiring, you know, GitHub is the new CV, isn't it?
It is,
you
know, yeah.
What have you contributed to? What have you created? You know, how
especially at a certain level,
yeah,
know,
exactly.
When you're up there with, you know, the big companies or whatever, I'm sure
that's probably a really good topic for another day. You know, how do developers show their skills? Because, you know, it literally is all behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but yeah, so yeah, definitely check out learnthesecrethandshake.com. It's a really great site, and some lovely sort of technical touches to it as well. It's fully responsive, of course.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, really nice, really, really nice. But yes, so what's the first one you've got this week?
A bit of a sort of shift in seriousness, really, to Mark
Jackwitz.
I'm
not sure I like this.
So the article's called The Prism Details Matter. So obviously, I'm sure everybody's heard about the issues with the NSA and Prism, this supposed system that's spying on us all. I'm not going to get too deeply into it because it'll be a very controversial matter and stuff like that. But Mark Jackwith, he is a core dev on the WordPress team.
Okay.
And he does a lot of stuff about deploying WordPress and loads of, you know, he's done a bunch of interesting talks at WordCamp and stuff. But he has written an article on Medium, no less.
I really like Medium.
Yeah, I do too. Mm. All about how he feels that the small details in the Prism story really matter. And it chiefly centers around the the use of the word server. You know, the press are all obsessed with the fact that the NSA have direct access to servers on companies' networks.
Right.
And what Mark's pointing out is, are those servers just effectively digital strongboxes where people put data once there's been a court order for that data? Or are they, you know, they've got direct access to their customer database, etc.?
Right, so is it kind of like a DMZ'd place that they can just
exactly
that, and access, that, or is it they've got, you know, full free rein to go wherever they want?
Exactly, and that's what he's saying hasn't been made clear. And what he's pointing out in very eloquently in this article is that nobody actually knows that yet. You know, because if this is just a strongbox system, then really, why is everyone jumping up and down? It's just a means for delivering data securely. But if it is direct access, then obviously there's been a breach of people's personal data there.
Mm.
So, you know, I mean, you know, not getting into what you believe and what you don't believe, but it's an interesting article, and it's and I think he's, you know, he's really made a good case for there needs to be more information before everybody starts a witch hunt.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. It does seem to be a sort of lack of detail floating around, and a lot of
technical details specifically. There's a lot of sorts of procedural detail, and a lot of sort of this was released in a training exercise, and you know, these slides, these PowerPoint presentations were given to people, but the PowerPoint presentation has a diagram, and all it says is server. You know, no information beyond that. So,
yeah, is it drawn like with a line out to a big cloud sort of thing?
That's pretty much exactly what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, on a side note, I thought the prison logo was incredible.
Yes. Yeah, I think someone redesigned their slides, didn't they? There was a little meme going around, so you know, with love, here you go, I've redesigned your PowerPoint.
It was love. It looked like something from like Thunderbirds or The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Brilliant. Oh, Man from U.N.C.L.E. Was that U.N.C.L.E. with a K, wasn't it? It was brilliant,
yeah,
that show.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I guess we'll hear a lot more about that. I mean, there was a lot of reaction on the Twitter, you know, once that came out. But yeah, I don't feel informed enough, to be honest, to, you know, I think I need to read up a bit more. And
I think there's clearly something there, but it's sort of, you know, it's until we have technical details, and I'm especially surprised when really technical people that I follow and stuff are jumping up and down about it and getting angry, because there's quite clearly a massive lack of technical detail in what's been leaked.
Sure.
So and as the person leaking was a techie, you'd have thought there'd be more there.
Mm.
So it's you know, it's an interesting point, but you know, so not getting into it too much.
No, we shall watch the developments, of course, and see where that goes. What was my second link? It was, oh, new Flickr. I know this is kind of old news, new Flickr, but I just thought it was interesting because I've been a member of a pro member since about 2005, which means it's like, you know, 90 in internet years or something. But,
yeah.
You know, they've taken my $25 or £25, whatever it is, for the last 8 or so years, and I've enjoyed the benefits of that. And then that arrangement is no more, basically.
Yes.
And they've changed the model quite drastically. And instead of paying for features, you pay to get rid of ads now. So the platform's the same for everyone, unless you want 2 terabytes of photo and video space, which is the Doubler account.
And how much is that?
That's 1 cent less than $500. So it's quite
a lot.
But I guess they're targeting, you know, real big, you know, professional users. But
professional photographers, yeah.
The pro account's gone, and yeah, it's $49.99 a year in dollars just to remove ads now. And I just thought it was an interesting change of emphasis. And, you know, I didn't feel communicated too well. But not that I'm, you know, losing sleep over this, but it was kind of like, oh, there's a new Flickr. And by the way, you know, we've changed this. Yeah, just what do you feel about that? Do you think that's a good move for them, or?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, I did, when I first saw it, I did think to myself, so it's $50 to do the same thing as an ad blocker, effectively.
Yeah.
Which I know is not the, you know, honest. well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it. How do you feel about that? You're turning on an ad blocker versus paying $50 a year. I mean, it's sort of, I don't know whether an ad blocker would successfully block their ads, but.
No, I don't know that. I mean, I'm not.
It's certainly been successful for me when I've had them installed. So
I'm not averse to ads. I mean, Gmail, I don't have a. I mean, I don't think you can actually get a sort of non-pro Google Mail for Business, whatever they call it, account now. But I mean, I have one, you know, legacy one, and they've not got rid of it. So I get ads in, you know, my mail client online, and I'm not too bothered, to be honest. No. I, you know, it is quite spooky when you're sort of booking a hotel and you get hotel ads or whatever, but you know, sometimes they're useful. Yeah. Very, very occasionally. Yeah. I'm not sure I would pay $50 a year to, I don't know if I could justify that, in terms of the amount that I use Flickr.
That seems to be the consensus online as well. The consensus on my Twitter feed anyway seems to be, you know, now that they're basically a giant repository for all my photos, why would I mind, especially given there's so many other ways to view your photos, why would I mind if there's an ad next to some of them at some points, you know, and also if I'm too worried I can install an ad blocker, or, you know, if I'm really, really keen on supporting Flickr, I could pay $50 a year. But I think it's interesting, isn't it, you know, when someone like Yahoo buys someone like Flickr, suddenly you have this sort of, you know, I remember John, 88 John Matthews.
Hello, John. Not too bad.
I remember John, as you say, you know, it's a no-brainer.
The $25?
Yeah, to have a Flickr account. I know that he used to be a subscriber, but I know from talking to him, he's not going to pay $50 to get rid of his ads. And it's the same situation as you know, you've been a subscriber for so long,
a loyal subscriber.
but interestingly, when Yahoo take over, do you have that same feeling of I just want to support them for the good feeling of supporting them?
I mean, to be fair though, they did buy them out years ago, didn't they?
They did, yeah. But now that the model's changed, are you thinking to yourself, I will sign up to that $50 a year because I just want to support Flickr?
No, I don't think so. Not in the same way at all. They clearly don't need my $50, but I don't think that's really the motivation. I just don't see the value in, you know, removing ads for $50. I'd sooner put that towards, you know, my Tudor or Todo subscription or something like that, which I will get the added value from.
Of course, yeah, and also you know the company, they're small, blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah.
I mean probably
supporting them.
Yeah, that probably does feed back into it. But yeah, it's taken me a while, I've got to admit. I mean, I probably look at Flickr every day, and it's taken me a while to get used to some of the visual changes. And I think a lot of people love it, but I think I was very stuck in my ways after it hadn't changed for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly liked it how it was as well. But, you know, I think that it's there's still some work to go, if you see what I mean. But I think it's starting to feel, you know, more solid.
I think for me, it was when you're actually browsing into from the main homepage and you're into someone's stream, I find that sort of a little bit clunky.
Yeah.
But, you know, set in my ways, as we've discussed.
It's certainly not speedy, 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 is it?
No. And it just, there's a few screens. I mean, I think it's, you know, the changes are great, but there's a few screens that kind of, you think, oh, they're going to finish that. Is that meant to be like that? You know, yeah, I think the iPhone app in contrast is brilliant. I think that's a lovely piece of work and makes viewing the photos really great, really great. But it was interesting to see how they kind of changed that model, you know, from a classic, you get more features or you get more space, to pay twice as much and we'll just remove the ads. So I think that says something about maybe sort of the value of a user to Yahoo is probably $50 in terms of the revenue that they can charge for the ads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you extrapolate that out over their number of users across their platforms, probably a huge amount.
Of course, yeah.
Interesting. But talking of old technical brands, your second piece is on the resurrection of Digg and their foray into the Google Reader space, which is set to close its doors. Is it July 1st or 5th? I can't remember. 1st, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. And it's because they're releasing... The Digg Reader is basically Google Reader. I mean, you know, for the uninitiated, it's an RSS reader in the cloud. And it's been released on June 26th. They just released a blog post on their blog, which obviously we'll link to, giving some more details and some screenshots and stuff about how it's going to work and how it looks in the browser, etc.
Yeah, it looks nice, actually. Simple, very clean.
Mobile. Yeah, it does. It looks really, really good. And I think they've focused on some really, you know, key important things, making it fast, keeping it simple, and let users import feeds from Google Reader.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, sorry to interrupt, I think it's interesting that they actually feel the need to actually go ahead and do this. I mean, I seem to be a lone voice. I'm not sure you're in the same boat, even of actually thinking RSS is still useful.
No, RSS is, I think RSS is still useful. I think it still definitely has a place. I have to admit I don't use my reader account anymore.
No.
And I haven't used it for a couple of years now. And I think that, and people have poo-pooed me when I've said this, but I think that Twitter's taken its place for me.
Poo-poo.
You know, I don't particularly use Twitter as a social network as much as I use it as a news consumption.
You're always backslapping people. I occasionally have a look, you know. Yeah, plus one, you know, first and all that. Plus You're one. All over it.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I, you know, I mainly use it for consuming news, and I think that maybe there's obviously still a place for the reader, and I'm excited to see what they've produced. And I do think there's still a place for RSS, but I just think that it never really worked for me. I used it for a while. I guess, and maybe this is just me, but I'm the sort of person that gets overwhelmed. So if there's sort of like, if it's 64 items unread, I'll just think, you know, I'm not going to do that. Whereas with Twitter, because everything's still always moving, I might miss something, admittedly. So it's not good for somebody who needs to get all the information about a subject, but I will pick up what I'm interested in as it goes along, while I've got it open.
Right.
Okay. And I don't have that feeling of going back to it. And it's like my inbox. That's it. I don't need another inbox. You know, my inbox is depressing enough, so to speak, with, you know, how many unread, how many to action emails in there. And I don't really need another thing like that, that I can see the number going up on and the pressure building to read that stuff.
Sure.
So I think that Twitter just, it works for me as in I can dip in and dip out when I want to. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I still like Reader, but I've tended to consume my Google Reader account in a couple of different ways, mainly through the iPhone these days, through things like Flipboard or Feedly.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Apologies for the cough. But mainly that's like when I'm, you know, waiting for a child to go to sleep, or, you know, it's kind of just sitting on the stairs hoping they're going to go to sleep, and I'm just sort of flipping through and telling them to be quiet and things like that. So I think the way that I consume news feeds has changed probably massively with the iPhone. I'm pleased that people like Digg and Feedly and Flipboard are allowing us to take those, feeds. Mine OPML files, probably a couple of hundred sites, which I probably need to cull, admittedly, but I still like it. I think it's a nice way of seeing what's new. It works really easily. You know, you can see, you know, new articles that are coming in. You can see ones that you've read.
And you probably miss less than I do, to be fair.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not as sort of religious about it as I used to be. It used to be one of the first things I used to check in the mornings. I think I had NewsGator Online was the original one I used when it went web-based. But I think it's obviously a space that people still want to happen. Having products in that space, and it's interesting that the guys at NewDig have taken on the challenge, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're such a small team. There's only five of them. And it's taken them 90 days to get to this point, and it looks pretty impressive. I mean, they made quite an interesting list of things they're going to do in the next 60 days and further on.
I think it'd be really interesting to see how they fare, because obviously things like Feedly now, which is it's got a really nice iPhone app and iPad app, and I believe it's on Android as well. But you can also have the Chrome plugin, which works really, really well, depending on, you know, your needs. So be interesting to see which wins out, really. And things like Feedly feels like it's gone back to being more of an RSS reader than a sort of curated tool. But I mean, that, again, really nice. Really, really.
And what's
nice
interesting about this is that they've said, from a business point of view anyway, is that they've said that, you know, there is going to be a freemium product. So what's released on the 26th, which is next week, right? What's released then will be the free product, basically.
Okay.
So all the features, it says all the features introduced next week, as well as many others yet to come, so a bit more than what's currently being released, will be part of the free experience.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the premium stuff there will be. But again, we shall wait and see. But
indeed.
I think, we might be in the minority of people using RSS these days, but...
Probably.
Probably, you know, dinosaurs that we are. That was... the kind of the news, or old news really in many ways, but but yeah, we don't really have a major discussion point, but there's one thing that has been annoying both of us independently, yes, and in unison over the last couple of weeks, and that's the, yes, search for a decent Mac mail client.
The constant search.
The constant search. It's like the nirvana of trying to find a great to-do app.
It is. In fact, to-do apps might be worse.
To-do apps might be worse. I'm quite happy with to-do or to-do.
Me too, yeah.
How do you say it? Is it to-do?
To-do.
I've actually parted with some cash. I went for the... How do they describe it? They now, where is it? They say... Oh, yeah, if you're a skeptic, which I think's, you know, a nice way of describing someone who's about to give you money, it's $3 a month. Or I'm a believer, I'm not going to sing it. 24 bucks a year.
So you went 24 bucks, didn't you?
I went 24 bucks. What about you? You're a skeptic. Yeah. You're still free?
No, monthly, I said.
Oh, you're a skeptic?
Yeah.
You didn't want to make that saving?
Obviously not.
Yeah, you see, you just, yeah. Mail clients and to-do apps. Fickle. Mm. But I think it works really well.
I do buy all these mail clients, mind you.
Also true. Yeah, so let's give the background. So basically, both fans of Sparrow.
Yes, very much so.
Sparrow got acquired by the Google.
Mm.
Silenced, never to be seen again, never to be updated.
The team got black-bagged, didn't they, basically?
Black-bagged?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Like V for Vendetta.
Is that one of your... Yeah, you see, I probably haven't seen that.
No, it's... yeah, as in bag over the head of the night and disappeared.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Well, we presume they're working on some wonderful Gmail client for the Mac.
But that's the thing. Why hasn't Sparrow resurrected itself as, you know, Google's own, I wonder?
Well, either... I mean, you know, it clearly... You know, it's a mail client, right? So clearly they didn't buy it for the software because they've mothballed it, right? So they clearly... It was a talent acquisition.
True.
Yes. Or maybe they did buy it for the software and it's being rebranded in the background.
But I mean, you know, even I could probably hack in a new logo.
Change some names.
Even in, like, you know, Xcode. Yeah. I could probably work out how to do that.
So how long ago was it now? A year?
I don't know. Let's have a quick look. Sparrow. This is quite difficult because I have the Yeti in front of me and then the keyboard.
Yeah, and the...
I'm trying to speak.
Pull the cable out. It's pretty high.
Yeah, and I'm not doing very well. Here we go. Actually, do you know what? It's almost a year.
Jeez.
When was this? I think this was July 20th or something like that, last year.
Right.
I think. Yes, July 20th, 2012. So almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, yeah. And it's also, it's very frustrating to well, I mean, you know, they don't owe us anything, because obviously we have the product we paid for.
True.
You know.
True.
Which is a conversation I have with a bunch of other people when we're talking about this. You know, there were a lot of people at the time saying, you know, what the hell? This is ridiculous. You know, we're paying customers. You can't do this. But of course, you've still got the software. It still works. So
yeah, you bought the software. You haven't bought the option of, you know, new versions in perpetuity
for the rest of your life. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I totally understand if that's what Google wanted to do, and I can completely understand the Sparrow team wanting to sell, but it has left us in somewhat of a quandary as to what mail client to use. Though it doesn't beg the question. I thought this the other night after we were talking about it. Why aren't we just using Sparrow?
Well, that's also true. It's something that occurred to me. I mean, it did work. But there's this notion that if it's not going to be upgraded, I need to find something that's going to be, you know, upgraded. I don't know why. It's a good question. Why
I think is probably down to our developer sensibilities more than it is anything else.
Insensibilities, I think.
Insensibilities, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Rather than a real concern that the application is going to break in some way. You know, is the IBAP protocol going to change? No. Is Gmail's functionality going to change that much? I doubt it. Mm. You know, it works. So why aren't we using it? Which is...
I wish we'd thought of that angle before we started, because I don't really have an answer for that.
No.
But
Sarah's gone back to it, hasn't she? I saw that on Twitter today.
Yeah, so I switched from Sparrow just... I mean, I think it was... There were a couple of bits that, you know, probably needed fixing in any of these things, and mm-hmm. had a few problems with the search. Search was very slow, I found, in Sparrow.
It's very poor, yeah.
And a couple of other things, but minor things. But, you know, visually, I was a big fan. And so I switched then to Postbox, which I think I bought as well.
I did as well.
And I quite like that. I felt the interface was a little bit old school in many ways, but it was very quick.
I didn't like it.
Flexible. You didn't like it at all?
No.
No. Just a straight up no.
No, I bought it. I used it. I couldn't get used to its threading or whatever it was doing.
Oh, yeah. It used to wind Mr. Stocks up because it used to put a little picture in of everyone. And
yeah, it did. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. I just ended up keeping it just for that reason, really.
Oh, and I like to send everything in plain text and I couldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, that's your...
I'm sure that was Postbox. I'm sure
that's your developer...
Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Insensibility creeping in again.
Yeah, it is.
Everything. No need for images. Rich text. Oh, no.
No, not rich text. God.
Plain text.
Yeah.
Oh dear. This a shelf falling down in your...
No, my dog's just broken down the door.
Brilliant. So you're going to get attacked by the recently quaffed Whistler.
Hello, Whistler. He obviously wasn't... happy that the door was shut and just decided to knock it down.
If you'd like to see a picture of Whistler, then there's probably 100 on your Instagram feed.
Yeah,
you should do it before and after with his haircut. He looks like a baby again.
Yeah, he does. Bless him.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He is massive though, regardless. But yeah, so Postbox, and then tried Airmail.
Yes,
Airmail was the next one. Got onto the beta of that and initially loved it. I thought we're back to sort of Sparrowland here. Mm-hmm. But then it just kind of ground to a halt. It was taking literally sort of 5 minutes to load the inbox of a morning, and you know, deleting things from the stream were ridiculously slow.
It seemed to have problem with scale.
Yeah.
So it seemed to have problems with, you know, I think we were just talking about how many tens of thousands of emails we got in our various mail accounts.
In our boxes.
And, you know, I've got three... Gmail accounts that I regularly add to most mail clients, and you know, they're in the sort of 53,000 in one, 32,000 in another, and I think for some reason Airmail just started to have problems with those large numbers.
Yeah, do you think it sells then?
No, I don't think. Well, mail. Yeah, I think plenty of people have got that kind of mail. You know, Google's whole mantra is you never throw anything away or whatever.
True.
So you know, but then search started to break was the first thing I noticed with Airmail, and then I just wasn't getting any message bodies when new mail came in.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
it therefore became unusable.
It's a shame because I think you know, they're regularly updating you know, the beta program. But again, it was just like, you know, the first sort of 20 or 30 updates were great, and then it just kind of stopped working. But you think, why are we so keen to try and find the perfect mail client? Why hasn't this been nailed? Why isn't there a go-to,
isn't it? It's so mission critical as well that it's very hard to stick with a beta program.
Yeah, true.
Because you're constantly thinking to yourself, did my client get that email? Did that person, did my accountant receive that file? You know, it's all it's all a bit sort of precarious.
Yeah, totally. I think as well, I mean, the irony is we've both now switched back to Apple Mail, which is a program that I haven't used for maybe 5 or 6 years. When I first switched to Mac, it was... I actually used Thunderbird. I really just didn't get on. I can't remember the reason why, to be honest.
I had exactly the same experience. I hated using Mail.
But like, you know, a lot of friends are big Mail users, and so I thought, I'm going to give this a go. And I literally had to go through the steps of adding in everything and downloading all the mail again. Mm. But I'm actually really pleased with it. It's super quick in comparison. It does the job. You know, it's relatively easy to customize things like the toolbars and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The stream of emails quite nice. You know, you can change that. You have no previews, whatever you want. And I actually really like the way that they separate out the conversations when you've got a mail thread going on, which
I got very too fancy with the threading. Have they?
Yeah, which is something that I got very used to the way kind of Sparrow and you know, Airmail had done it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just strikes me that. There doesn't, when there's innovation, it's they're kind of trying to make email a bit more like Twitter clients and that kind of thing, which is kind of nice visually, but I think as long as they work, you realize that actually all I really need to be able to do is send mail and receive mail and mm-hmm. archive my mail.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, speed is of the most importance.
The keyboard shortcuts and things are a bit frustrating with Mail.
I think because we both got used to most of the apps mimicking the Gmail interface.
Yeah.
So things like Command Enter, I was like, it's not sending. You know, it's that muscle memory, things like that.
Is it my imagination, or does the archive feature on Mail not archive it into your IMAP box? Archives it into the local archive on Mail.
No, I think you can.
You can specify
the mappings.
Right. Okay.
In the preferences. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing about Postbox. It had a huge set of options. I got very sort of sidetracked. It was very, very difficult to sort of make head or tail of that. But yeah, I mean, are you a folders guy? Do you have things like?
No. I used to, but I just deal with everything in my inbox and archive the minute I've dealt with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then if I get a reply, and it comes back into my inbox, or I mark it to follow up, just flag it.
You flag it.
Yeah.
Nice. No, it's I used to use the interface online heavily, but I think once you've got anything more than one email address, that kind of becomes tricky. Because you kind of just want to bash through your emails, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and I mean, also you might want to prioritize something over something else, and you're logged into one, you're logged into another. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Mail gets any kind of visual cue, visual updates rather in
Mavericks.
Mavericks. You know, obviously I'm not going to be downloading that because I don't like the name.
Yes, I did see quite a few people on Twitter saying that.
It's
clearly rubbish.
It offends me. Right, so what they named it after? Is it one of the...
Don't know. There's a football team, isn't there, called that?
I can't believe Apple.
I don't know.
Is it something to do with California, isn't it? Isn't it the...
There's a surfing location called that, isn't there?
So it would be OSX Big Sur next or something like that. But I'd buy that. You know.
Yeah, Mavericks is a location, it says here, Northern California. Major surf, you know, paradise or whatever, big wave surfers. Mm. So that's more likely than the American football team.
I mean, you named your dog after...
No, it's not American football, it's basketball, I think. Anyway, yes, I named my dog after what?
After the Microsoft Windows Whistler project, didn't you?
Yes.
Nothing to do with the mountain.
No, nothing.
No. Yeah. Anyway, it must be hard, actually. I mean, any more sort of line-related ones must have run out.
I'm not sure. I've never really understood the need for the names, but, you know, maybe I'm a sports
You like a point, you know, 10.07.
I just like 10.0, whatever. Yeah, 11.0, blah, blah, blah.
So will this be OS 11? Or is it 10?
No, I don't think so. It's 10 point something, isn't it?
Okay.
10.9, is it?
10.9. What am I on? Let's have a quick look.
You see, we're not that informed. We shouldn't be doing this.
10.8.3, that's all I'm on.
You're only on 8.4's out, mate.
Yeah, it's been nagging me to update.
Yeah.
But it's always about a 900 megabyte printer driver. My printer's crap anyway, so I don't think it's worth the bandwidth.
No.
My bandwidth's consumed mostly by mixture updates, sort of 25 meg every day. The bill's immense enough.
Neil will be pleased to hear that.
Neil will be pleased, actually. It's a great product, Neil. We love it. So Mail clients. I mean, it's not the greatest topic in the world, but it's just frustrating. They should just work, shouldn't they?
They should, and I think that I can't believe I'm saying this in 2013, but there is still space for someone to come along and disrupt that whole...
to be an angel of disruption.
I thought you'd like that title.
It is good. I think, have you added it to your flowery bio?
No, I'm going to shortly.
Yeah.
Angel of Disruption. Was it Angel or was it Agent? It was Agent of Disruption. You said you should make it Angel of Disruption.
Angel of Disruption, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, get some big wings.
Who was it they were describing as? Was it Sean Parker or someone?
Was it Sean Parker or... Yes, I think it was.
Yeah.
Is he an angel? Agent?
He's an agent of disruption, according to Wired or whoever it was that was talking to him.
They should know.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you'd even question such a thing.
No.
Are you a big
and
view?
Finally.
Oh, yes, yes. Ah. Well, I think this might have actually, at least on a par.
Yes.
With the pack love. And,
the pack love's still amazing. I get regular email updates about the doodle pack.
The doodle... See, email does have a use, but I don't know where I did. Did I find this or did you? Was this you me? But yeah, I can't. I mean, I must have found it on the Twitter.
Can't divulge where you found this from.
It was, you know, I've no idea, but it's called Whistle,
which is appropriate.
It is
for my dog.
Yeah, and it's for your best friend, aka your hound. And it's a new way to understand your dog and add healthy, happy years to their life.
So, to be clear, marketing spiel aside, it's Fitbit for your dog.
Fitbit for your dog. Oh, hold on. Oh yes, they've got some media branding at the bottom.
Oh, well, nice. Who are they? Are they disruptors?
Ooh, I think they might be disruptors.
No, VentureBeat, TechCrunch. They're innovators.
Do you think the Virgin Inc.?
Engadget. VentureBeat.
I love the way all these things, they just don't link to an article where they've been featured. It just links to the website. Oh, no, it just goes to whistle.com news.
Weird, eh?
Whistle leads pack of tech startups targeting US pet market.
So.
Yeah, how's it
basically
work?
Basically, what it does is it attaches to your dog's collar.
Yeah.
It's a little disc, a bit like a Fitbit or whatever. Fitbits are little square things, aren't they?
Do you mean you've not got one?
No, I'm not wearing one right this minute.
You're not?
No. Are you?
Well, I've had one sort of chipped under my skin.
Right, okay.
Yeah, for life, yeah.
Permanently fitted.
Yeah, permanently fitted, yeah.
Software updates must be painful.
Well, just a USB port, it's fine.
Right. Yeah, so basically it's a little device that attaches to your dog's collar, which is actually not that little. I can imagine Whistler flicking it off quite easily.
Yeah, where would you put it? Do you put it on the side? Do you put it at the back? I mean, you know, they're going to get annoyed. It looks like, I don't know, like a little round tin.
Yeah, like what was that mint brand? A little brand of mints, you know, like you put they buy newsagents.
You buy mints in newsagents.
You know what
round.
I mean, like the little tins. No, the little tins.
Little tins. What the
like
curiously
Altoids or something?
Curiously, that's a squarish.
Is it? Anyway, so it's a little little round disc, and it attaches to your dog's collar, and it records information about their activity levels, their sleep, and all that stuff. So it's pretty much exactly the same as Fitbit, but for a pet. And it it'll tell you not just who. I don't know how it does this bit. It apparently tells you who has been interacting with your dog.
But did they have to have a whistle on them?
I don't really understand that.
Are they broadcasting some kind of MAC address? That goes to a centralised database through Prism.
I don't know whether maybe it's your phone.
Ah. It's only weighs 16 grams, though. It's pretty light.
That is really light, actually, yeah.
And it's shockproof and ruggedised.
It's very good. I mean, you know, all joking aside.
I'm not joking.
As a geek, I'd buy it.
You mean you haven't bought it?
No, not yet. How much is it? Oh, it's more expensive than I thought.
Ooh. Oh, you can add engraving for $20. It's $99.95.
Which could actually be useful. It's more useful than you think.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a dog, I mean, what if
it's
it
not? It's not
for
like
kids?
It's not like an iPod or something. You know, the whole thing of engraving an iPod. It's actually useful because you can put your address and stuff on it.
Yeah, I think these. I mean, you're going to have like. Hopefully, the app will have that thing where you can turn it off if someone steals it from your dog.
You know. find my whistle.
Find my whistle. It's quite a nice site, actually. They've got that thing where you scroll down and pictures of dogs appear and then text appears.
It's nice, yeah.
What's that technique called? It's not really... Is that parallax? I don't
know. It is. Yeah, that's parallax. Nice.
There's some fine-looking hounds here.
Yeah, well... Models. Yeah. Models.
Do you think they're dog models?
Actually, I was
forced into it.
Some quite old dogs on this... on this site, as
against
well as
puppy. The app looks really nice, actually. You can get weekly activity, monthly trends, veterinarian insights.
Oh, yeah, the vet. There's a vet report.
Brilliant.
So you can show your vet how much active. So
you can track goals and everything.
Well, your dog's a bit fat. You can say, well, look, I've been running him for 30 hours a week or something.
Oh, there's a social network in there. You can find other dogs like yours. This is brilliant.
Find me similarly idle dogs.
Yeah. Find me a dog as slothy as mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's...
It's quite a big company,
isn't it?
It's got
custom analytics. You can share stories, 10-day battery life, mobile access, trends and alerts, track patterns and changes in behavior over time. You could, get an update while you're out in a meeting. dog has achieved target A of eating 4 pillows.
Phone goes off. Sorry, it was just my dog. Yeah. He's gone out.
Yeah. Brilliant. No, well, I think this is good. Are they, is it a whole company? Is it Whistle?
Yeah, there's loads of them. Go to
company. Oh, my goodness me.
It's quite a fat spaniel there.
Three, four, five, six, seven. There's probably like 20 people there.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. They don't all look like dog lovers.
No. Some of them are standing further away from the dogs than others.
Yeah, you can tell that guy on the right there, I don't think he's at the back.
No, I don't think he is. I think the guy holding the sort of Jack Russell looking dog with the...
In the middle.
Yeah, I don't think he actually likes that dog.
Yeah, he looks kind of
like... his shoulders that he's uncomfortable holding.
I think it's a forced smile, like the dog's going to wee on him or something. Get the photo over and done. I could be very wrong.
The one on the table's epic.
That is brilliant. That's whistle.com/company.
Yeah.
It's a big business.
It is. There's lots of them.
Has the power to enrich each pet owner relationship.
It's a lovely dog on the beach there as you scroll down. What's that? Is that St. Bernard or something? Anyway.
I'm not sure if we can actually find any more dog related and find this, but we should try.
Yes. I might actually buy this and report back on it.
Are you really?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
If we actually earn money from this, we could see it as an investment.
If I tell Katie about it, she'll want it instantly.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell Katie.
No.
Don't tell Katie. Yes, a massive team.
Yeah.
Look at that. And they've got pictures with their pets. I take it all back. They've all got a pet. I'm sorry, gentlemen at the back on the right.
Some of them are cats, let's be honest. And some of them are children's pictures with cats.
True.
So
actually, Nicole, firmware lady, she has
Nicole clearly does not like dogs. Where is she standing?
She's also decreased in years by about 20 years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Still wearing the same colour. Anyway.
Yes. That was it. Episode 9. Yep. Done, as Ramsay would say.
Indeed.
But thank you for listening. Hopefully we haven't chewed your ear off too much about our email client woes. And for the pet owners out there, please go and buy a whistle. Have they got an affiliate program?
Let's find out.
Sadly,
we'll find out before we post the link on the show notes.
Yeah. Please go ahead and pre-order the whistle and feedback on that accordingly. We should probably be back in, I don't know what, September or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Hopefully not. Are you got any travel plans? Are you away?
Yeah, I'm away in July.
Oh, blimus.
Though I can pretty much guarantee I'm not away as much as you.
I'm not away too much now. Just...
Boston?
Yes.
Yes.
Soon. And, yeah. That's it, though, I think, till August.
Good.
Not too bad. But, thanks for listening. This was episode 9, as I say, of the Back to Front show. A show focusing clearly on dogs and not front-end and back-end technology. But, we'll reconvene soon, and thanks for listening. Cheers.